The Countess of Carnarvon joins us by phone tonight. Her home is Highclere Castle in England, a magnificent dwelling of some 300 rooms situated on 1,000 acres, which is also the home for the wildly and widely popular Downton Abbey series on PBS. She previously wrote about the fifth Countess of Carnarvon, Lady Almina. Tonight we're going to talk about her latest book, which is about the sixth Countess of Carnarvon. It is titled Lady Catherine, the Earl, and the Real Downton Abbey, and it focuses on the 1920s through the 1940s, the years in the upcoming season of Downton Abbey. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, Lady Carnarvon.
Thank you very much.
Lady Catherine's very different from her predecessor, Lady Almina, beginning with the fact that she's an American, and it's through the sad loss of her father and the financial misfortune that ensues that she comes to live with relatives in England, and she marries Lord Porchester. If you would, tell us about the first year or so of her marriage, because there are very dramatic changes in her life.
It is extraordinary, because there's this beautiful 19-year-old American girl, the toast of London society and going to all the debutante balls and everything else and having all these proposals of marriage and the laughter and fun of it all, having had a miserable time after her father died, actually. But anyway, she then marries Lord de Porchy. But then the fifth Earl of Carnarvon, his father, dies out in Cairo, having discovered Tutankhamun's tomb. So suddenly this young couple, who thought they were beginning their married lives out with his regiment in India, are catapulted back into England and as the new chatelaines of Chatelaine of Highclere Castle. So Catherine's life is completely changed and she takes up a role here.
And what state is the estate in?
It wasn't too bad, but it had worked very hard to support the war effort of the First World War. Income tax in England was 6% in 1914, 60% 4 years later in 1918. And our debt to America had actually increased tenfold during the 4 years of the First World War, which means that the English government imposed an awful lot of taxes on all the citizens of this country. So the fifth Earl was struggling to pay everything and keep going. And when he died, unexpectedly, at the age of only 56 in Egypt, his son, Catherine's husband, was faced with a huge bill for death duties, some sort of 25, 30 million pounds, I suppose $40 million in today's money. So that was simply enormous, and his trustees told him to give up. So the first part of my book is really about saving Highclere. Seems to happen every so often that we have to swing into action and see what our next bright idea is.
Well, it's also during this time, very early in her marriage, that they have their first child, Henry. And as we move forward a little bit, it's important to say that this time is very different than Lady Almina's, and that we're in the 1920s, and set against the backdrop of this flapper era is the death of her beloved brother. What change does this bring in her life?
I think she was completely devastated. He was a great friend of her husband and sort of kept her husband sort of in line or towards her on track. And she'd lost her father when she was just 11. And it was a huge blow to her. And her life had changed course and she had to grow up very quickly over the last few years. Highclere was a huge house. It was very much the center of society with masses of house parties. There's a lot of work involved behind the scenes here as a wife, I can tell you. And then her brother died. It was devastating. And she was also trying to face and deal with a husband who wasn't completely faithful, who thoroughly enjoyed himself whilst loving his wife as well. But it was a difficult marriage for a young girl, and it was fascinating trying to write about it and be sympathetic to both sides.
I found this fascinating in your book that late in her life, her lady's maid, who is also her confidant, teaches her to cook. So I'm wondering, in her everyday life, what kind of time and talents were required of the Countess to manage life at Highclere?
I think organization, I'm not sure it's really much changed today. Almina was a tremendous organizer, however, and fairly undaunted by the time she left Highclere to most things that faced her. Catherine was good at organizing a household. She'd been brought up to learn how to do it, to get on with the staff, to make it a good place to work. So that was all there. The kitchens are miles away from the dining room, so I simply couldn't boil my husband an egg for breakfast and get it to him so it was warm and then try and sit down and eat. It just doesn't work. So it's better not to try. I can paint a room, but I'm better off not painting a room. It's trying to work out what you're better at doing. So And it's just the same then. So it was interesting. So that's what she was good at doing. She was very beautiful. She loved going racing with her husband and took part in his life and tried to take part in his life and be a wonderful mother to their two children. And her children simply adored her. And that was a very, very positive part of her life.
I want to ask you about your research process, because in my mind, I imagine some treasure trove of documents and memorabilia somewhere in the castle. And what was your process in working with him?
A slightly chaotic process, to be honest. There's a couple of muniment rooms, which are wonderful, and there's an archive room, and there's a few other things dotted around. And I sit in my study at the foot of a staircase, which runs all the way up to an archive room. So I never take anything out. Oh, I have lights in the archive room. When I wrote Almina, there was no electricity there. So what's very exciting was I treated myself to lights, electricity, and an internet cable. So when I came to write Catherine, it was great because I could sit and work. Because when I wrote Almina, when it got dark, I had to abandon ship and go downstairs. So this is really state of the art for me. But there is a treasure trove, and there's a much bigger treasure trove than I have yet explored. It's a bit, however, like the Aegean stables as well, because it's such a huge, sometimes very daunting task. And I sit on the floor next door to various different cabinets and start looking through them. And then I have to say, get hopelessly distracted. So to try to keep on course is the hardest thing.
And I do thank you for staying on course, certainly for visiting with us tonight, introducing us to some of the real residents of Downton Abbey. And I do want to say to you, on behalf of countless viewers, we do appreciate coming into your home on a regular basis via television.
Thank you.
And you've been a wonderful boon for public television in this country. So thank you on that score also.
I'm thrilled that Downton went to PBS and Masterpiece. Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is. And you certainly played a big part in it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me on tonight.
I've been talking with the Countess of Carnarvon about her latest book. It is titled Lady Catherine, the Earl, and the Real Downton Abbey. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.